Okay. We are in heavenly places. For those of you listening on the phone, if you actually have the book, go to page 340. And it's, of course, for November 29th, today. And the title is A World to be Warned. Amen. Well, this would be nice if I would have been reading this next week, because next week's sermon is all about current events. And let me put this on the prayer list here, too, because I'm trying to get this screen capture software. And I did a video yesterday, or the day before, and it came out fuzzy, like out of focus. And I tried the cheap ones, the expensive ones. I tried them all, and it just keeps on coming out fuzzy. I got it because I want to make two or three videos a week just about current events, because I think it's getting pretty down to the wire, and I want to try to get as much exposure out there as possible in regards to what's happening. So please keep that in your prayers. But we'll be praying about that in a minute too anyway. Okay, so she starts off here with Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." This is similar to, actually, I did a track years ago about this, about Matthew 24, 14, and I have since, I've lost all my old tracks. I used to do them on parchment paper in Office Depot when I lived up near Chicago. And I did it on this one here because this particular verse, because of the way today's world is. A lot of people have a hard time understanding or even believing that the gospel can be preached to all nations. And I would imagine that would have been a pretty easy mindset to revel in 100 years ago, then definitely 1,000 years ago, or even 2,000 years ago. But today, with the satellites and high speed, the trains or cars or airplanes, of course, and boats and ships and stuff like that, not a problem. The gospel of the kingdom is easily preached all around the world. As a matter of fact, we have, there was a video that they put on YouTube years ago, not about a year ago, actually. And I put it on, not only, I don't know if I put it on the site or not, but I thought it was pretty interesting to where they flew over a certain area in the jungle of Africa, and they spotted a tribe that was never been spotted ever. And these people, of course, in this tribe never saw an airplane before either. There are sections of Africa that, I'm sure they hear airplanes every now and then and wonder what that noise is, but I guess this was the first time they ever saw one. And those people are going to be approached, I'm hoping, by Christians, which reminds me of that that group of Christians that did it years ago. And when they went there the first time, the people, of course, rebelled and got a little scared and killed a few of the Christians. But then they came back, and the whole area, I would think, that whole tribe became Christian. But anyway, the truth will be easily spread now. And even if you don't count all the means by which we have the, to spread the gospel, you've got books, tracts, TV, of course, and radio, shortwave radio on top of that, which is global, and DVDs and stuff like that that people hand out. So anyway, she goes on to say, "As the rays of the sun penetrate to the remotest corners of the globe, so God designs that the light of the gospel shall extend to every soul upon the earth. And he has given us overwhelming tools to do." Oh, yeah, internet. That's one of them. And here we are. This is what we do. I mean, we were, like I was saying earlier, we are the first Christians that I know of that have had, that did church online. We did it years ago in Fire Talk, and then we did it in Yahoo Messenger, then we did it on Pal Talk. And those two places you don't want to go now because you will get hacked. And then the Lord bless us with our own chat room to where we don't have to worry about going to those public chat rooms where they'll hack and attack you, especially if you're Christian. They will. The minute they find out you're a Christian, you're going to start getting things on your computer that will scare you. I mean, they do have viruses and stuff that they can push. Anyway, she goes on, "At this time, when the enemy is working as never before to engross the minds of men and women, we should be laboring with increasing activity." And you know what this is, she's getting at here. The enemy is working never before to engross the minds of men and women. I mean, think about this. How easily is this prophecy seen fulfilled today? Everybody's got a cell phone in their pocket with all sorts of little goodies on it, and apps and games and texting and whatever else. I mean, there's people walking into fountains and malls because they're texting so much they just fall into the water. And there's people crashing cars because they're texting while they're driving. Or there's people with headphones on while they're jogging, listening to whatever. And then, of course, everybody's got the widescreen TV sets in their homes, and the TVs are never off. And, the minute the parents have children, they bring the baby and they put them in front of the TV set, and all of a sudden you can just see the kid get mesmerized by it. And that babysits the kid, makes it easier for mom, they think, which destroys the kid's mind eventually. And there's all sorts of distraction. Then you got sports and everything else on top of it, and careers and everything. And so the devil's doing everything he can to prevent the people. And it's like, case in point, go to the grocery store. You know, like we were talking about this earlier, too, like when you see, like what happened with Black Friday today. People out there beating each other senseless to save a couple of bucks on a TV set. Imagine how bad it's going to get when there's no food on the shelves. Because people have been conditioned, especially in America, that if there's no food on your shelf in the store, your local store, you will starve to death. They don't know how to take a shovel, stick it in the ground, and drop a seed in that pile of dirt. They just don't. And so they're all scared, and they'll go crazy, and they'll kill each other just for it. But it's everywhere you look, there's all sorts of distractions, like she's saying here. And it keeps the people, the conveniences too, it keeps the people well-controlled. It makes it easier for the enemy of souls to do what he's planning to do. And I lost my train of thought there, so let's continue. She goes on to say that diligently, disinterestedly, we are to proclaim the last message of mercy in the cities, in the highways, and byways. All classes are to be reached. As we labor, we shall meet with different nationalities. None are to be passed by unwarned. The Lord Jesus was the gift of God to the entire world, not to the higher classes alone, and not to one nationality to the exclusion of others. And we see people do this. You know, there's some people that are rather racist out there, and they'll only preach to their own race, if you will. And I used to hang with this one preacher years ago, and he always wanted to go into the rich neighborhood to pass out the tracts. I said, well, what about the neighborhoods where they didn't have money? You got to, because he, of course, wanted to have the rich people come to his church and tithe, I guess. I don't know. I shouldn't, judge that. I'm just assuming, because that's, the way some people are. But there are preachers that just do that. They prefer not have. For example, like when Fran and I first became Christians and left the Catholic Church, we were church hopping and stuff like that, and the Lord was still dealing with us in regards to getting us on the proper track to where we would actually start keeping Sabbath and whatever, all the other wonderful things that he has to offer in the Word. And it got difficult where it was, trying to get two nickels to rub together. And so I went to this one church. We had been going to this one church for a few weeks. It was like a big non-denominational TV wannabe church, which eventually did end up on TV, but we were out of there before that happened because it just got too plastic. It looked too fake. But we were there in very green, not really understanding what was going on yet. The Lord we hadn't been educated enough yet. And I went into the back one time. Well, actually, I approached one of the leaders in the church. I says, look, we're hurting. We're the people that come to the church. Is there any way that the church helps anybody? I'm not asking for money. I'm looking, like jobs or even food, like some churches do. They'll give you food. And the people in the back, in order to get there, I had to drive my rusty car back there, and I passed at least $1 million worth of cars. I kid you not. Some of these things were overwhelming, hundreds of thousands of dollars for these cars. Like for the pastor's car and everything, crazy amount of it was unbelievable, and they says we tried that but it wasn't working out. That's when we started to realize, okay, we got a problem here. How could it not be working out? You have to help the poor. You have to help the people that need the help. But she goes on to say, and that's where she's getting at here, to the it's the entire world. It's not just the higher classes, and of course not just the nationalities like with the racist people. She says, his saving grace encircles the world. Whosoever will may drink of the water of life. A world is waiting to hear the message of present truth. The kingdom of... Oh, and by the way, and I'm a good example of this, because when I first became a Christian... Now some people say, I've never been shy. Like, when I was a little kid, I was very, very extremely shy. And... a little wallflower, just like anybody else, like a shrinking violet kind of kid. And but then later on in life, just by my dad's own instruction, he tried to push me into certain areas and maybe do certain things, and taught me, you know, how to do certain things when it came to conversing with people. And I praise God for that, because I was very timid, if you will. But even though when I got into, like, in my teen years, and I started hanging out with my buds in high school and stuff like that, some people would consider me like an A-type personality because I was out there very confident and stuff like that. But still, sharing my faith or talking to somebody about Jesus Christ, it was very, very difficult for me. And I found out it wasn't because I was shy. It was because I used to be shy. The devil wouldn't let me forget that. And whenever I wanted to share my faith, this brick wall kept coming up. So that's what I started with, the tracts. I started handing out tracts instead. And before you know it, you know, I started getting bold enough to actually hand it to a person. And then the conversation started flowing. I started to realize, hey, I thought I was shy. I've been lied to. And so if you feel like you don't have that ability, try it. I mean, eventually you'll find yourself sharing your faith with people when you thought you'd never be able to do it. And especially like the first time I got on the pulpit, I was shaking like a leaf, but I finally realized, while I was up there, scared as I was, I felt like it was the most natural thing that I was supposed to. So again, I found out I was lied to. The enemy of souls was trying to do everything he could to prevent me from sharing my faith. And so if you're shy, that might just be the enemy of souls messing with you. And you'll find out all of a sudden when you start sharing your faith, it comes out of you. John 14:26 wasn't written just for the sake of filling up some page real estate. That really does happen. He will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. He really will. It's amazing what will come out of your mouth sometimes. You'll think, how did that come out? You know, literally. It's amazing how he will take over if you let him. So she goes on. The kingdom of grace is now being established as day by day hearts that have been full of sin and rebellion yield to the sovereignty of his love. But the full establishment of the kingdom of his glory will not take place till the second coming of Christ to this world. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven is to be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's, of course, Daniel 7:27. The heavenly gates are again to be lifted up, and with 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of holy ones, our Savior will come forth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's 1 Timothy 6:15. And then she says, Jehovah Emmanuel shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Zechariah 14, verse 9, she's quoting from. And then Revelation 21, verse 3 says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them and be their God. But before that coming, Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. His kingdom will not come until the good tidings of his grace shall have been carried to all the earth. So again, this is, by the way, another reason for the loud cry. It has to go forth. The Lord loves them all, regardless if you love them or not. It's like with the racist types that will only preach to their race. You got to realize, and I don't believe there's anybody here at this in our church family that's like that, but there are some that may be listening to this recording later. You have to realize that the truth has to go out to everyone, and if you refuse to step out and do it the way Christ said to do it, we're going to be here longer. And I don't want to be here longer. Most of us don't want to be here longer. We want to go home. So in order to expedite the arrival of the Lord as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we must do the work. And do what we shall, and do what we have been doing. As a matter of fact, we've got well over 700 people that do it all around the world. Most, of course, 500 or so are in the United States alone. Just handing out tracts, you know, doing Bible studies, and it's all, they're all self-funded. Praise the Lord, because it's not easy to do. We're just a small church, just like the prophecy said. So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared. I'll be back in a minute.